2 hours, according to WBAL. Just
telling you. All right, we'll say. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's
wrong. It's wrong. It's pretty wrong. As a kid. Okay, come on.
You are messing with us.
Talk about the clock of soul.
Really? Some people.
Yeah. I don't want to start like...
All right, let's begin. Let's begin. All right. Yes, thank you. Today's show is sponsored by David Wiesenberg for the Arts and Arts by Melanie Tzipora Basia Bashraga Halivi. We hope that in America, our Talmud Torah, her neshama has an aliyah.
Amen.
All right, so we begin. Sukkah shigavo lamalame esr mamo. If you have a sukkah that is taller than 20 amos. Remember, again, just for approximation purposes, an amma is a foot and a half. An amma is a foot and a half. So a sukkah, therefore, that is going to be 20 amos, and a sukkah that will be 20 amos will be about 30 feet in height. So the Gemara says the following, psula, it is possible. For Rabbi Huda Mach, Rabbi Huda says it's kosher. Visha'ina gavoa asar tfachim, and a sukkah that is not at least 10 tfachim high, or for that matter, she'in l'shlosha defanos, or it doesn't have three walls. V'shech hamasa meruba mitzila. So, or the schach allows in more sunlight than shade. In all of these cases, psula. In all of these cases, the sukkah is pasul. Says the Gemara. Tanan hasam. We learned there, and I will say the beautiful part. Obviously, we see often about when we go through Dafyomi is when we get to see Gemaras that we've seen before in some of our earlier stops. See here, the Gemara begins by quoting the Mishnah in Meseches Eruvin. So the Mishnah says the following: Mavui shugavo me esrim amo. We'll say if you have literally it means a mavui that is taller than 20 amos. Remember again, what does that mean? Look at Rashi: Mavui shugavo. Mavui shu sasum mishalos stada. This is a mavui that is closed off on three sides. Verosha pasuach l'rishus harabim. And the fourth side is open up to the rishus harabim. V'chatseros pesuchos. And there are courtyards that open up into the mavui. V'yotzos ubaos l'rishus harabim. Harihu rishus hayochel l'bnei chatseros. V'asru chachamim l'hotzi mirishus chavero. B'lo iruv. Shachatziros ko'achos rishus liatzmo, v'hamavoi rishus likulam. So also remember how this works. In Talmudic times, the way the home situation was set up is you had multiple homes that opened up into a chatzir, a shared courtyard, and multiple courtyards that opened up into a mavoi, opened up into an alleyway. So that alleyway, from a rabbinic perspective, that alleyway, midaraisa, is rishus hayachid, and therefore does not require anything. You carry into it. However, again, midrabanan, it has the appearance of a rishus harabim. Why? Because you have multiple people using that same point of that same corridor, ultimately to exit from their chatzeros into the rishus harabim. Because of that, the rabbis require. We'll finish Rashi. He says. We're going to leave out Shitufim Revolves for now. So we'll say the halach is like this. So because that mavoi, because that corridor resembles a public domain in some way, so they needed some type of marker, some type of reminder on the fourth side, in order to remind people that lemaisa, although they can carry in the mavui, they should not carry into the rishus harabim. What was the reminder on the fourth side? So either a lechi or a korah, either a horizontal beam or a vertical beam. So the Gemara says over here, the Mishnah says, that if you have a korah, if you have the horizontal beam that is higher than 20 amos, yema'it, you must bring it down. Right back to the Gemara. Rabbi Huda says, no, you know, sorry. Rabbi Huda says you don't have to bring it down. Even the Mal is okay. Chabosai sounds like same machlokas in the Mishnah over here in Sukkah. Right? The Rabbanon say that a Sukkah that's the Malah may Asrim Amma is possible. Rabbi Huda says it's kosher. Seems to be the same machlokas over here by the Mavui in the case of the Korah. So the Gemara says, Maishna Gabi Sukkah the Tani Psula, or Maishna Gabi Mavui the Tani Takanta. Now, Bosai, the Gemara asks a fundamental question. Why is it that by Sukkah, when the Mishnah records the machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Huda, the Mishnah just uses the lashon of psula, right? So the Mishnah says sukkah lamalane esrim amah psula, it's pasul. And yet by mavui, when it talks about a horizontal beam, a korah, that is lemala me'esrimamo, so what do the rabbanon say? You might bring it down. So Gemara's lashon is ma'ishna gabi soka d'tani psula. Why is it by soka that it just says pasul? U'ma'ishna gabi mabui d'tani takanto. But yet by mavui, it says a takana, meaning tani takanta means it lists a remedy. It tells you what to do to fix the problem. To which the Gemara says the following. Sukkah d'oreisa tani psula. Mavui d'rabbanan tani takanta. So answer number one is that sukkah is d'oreisa. And therefore sukkah, that's d'oreisa, the Torah says, excuse me, the Mishnah says psula. Mavui, it says the remedy. And I will say, what does that mean? So Rashi points out, you can't use the lashon of psula by mavui warabosai, because the opinion of the Gemara here, although we'll see it's subject to some dispute, is that the lashon of psula is only used for daraisos. You can't use lashon of psula for a drabonon. So to say that the korah, to say that the horizontal beam of a mavui is going to be pasul, it doesn't. The language doesn't stim. So therefore, they say you might. You have to bring it down. Sukkah, however, where we will see that the invalidations are biblical in nature. So the Mishnah used lashon of psula. V'boyisim, other possibilities. It could be that in da'oraisas, normally we also would list a remedy instead of just saying psula. So what's the issue over here? Miu sukkah dinafishi nilsa pasik v'tani psula. But rather says the Gemara, when it comes to sukkah, there's a lot of information when it comes to sukkah, many, many details. So the Mishnah can't start listing all the details necessary in order to make your sukkah kosher. So what does the Mishnah just simply say? Psula. And the Mishnah then ultimately relies on the Gemara. I mean, Mishnah didn't know about the Gemara, but again, we rely on the Gemara then to fill in all of the blanks. But the Mishnah can't get into, so we know this often, a Mishnah, that's seriously Mishnah and Gemara. Mishnah is there to state certain principles, knowing that it can't cover all of the bases in its given slot. The job of the Gemara is then to expound upon the principles. So the Mishnah therefore suggests that by Sukkah, where there are so many details, it just says Sukkah l'malame esrim ama psula. However, Mavui, delo nafishmile, tani takanta, but yet again, but Mavui, Rabbi says the truth is, it's not so many details by Mavui. Actually, the details of Mavui are quite simple, that the core, the horizontal beam, has to be within 20 amos. That's about it. So because of that, because it's so simple and clear and succinct, therefore the Mishnah just simply states, you might bring it down. Now the Gemara asks, where do we know this from? Now I will say, what's the this? So the Mishnah began with the statement that a sukkah that is taller than 20 amos is pasul. They're more than 30 feet high is pasul. Where do you know that from? Why? Why is that? Says the Gemara, now we're going to have a three-way machlokas. Rabbi said the following, the Amakra, because the Pasuk says, Leman yedu dorosechem, ki basuko so shafti es b'nei Yisrael. So Rabbi says, because the Pasuk says, in order that you will know for all generations that I've taken you, that I took you out of Egypt, or I saved you with sukkos. I saved you in sukkos. So the Gemara says, Ra'o Rabbi darshins, ad esrim amo adam yodeh shehu dar b'sukkah. Until a height of 20 amos, a person realizes that he's living within a sukkah, lemalame esrim amos, but taller than 20 amos, ein adam yodea shedar b'sukkah. A person does not necessarily know that he's living in a sukkah. We'll define what that means in just a moment. Mishum delo shalta ba'ena, because his eyes literally don't extend all the way upwards. Rabbi said, look at Rashi. Leman yedu, asei sukkah, See, what's interesting about sukkah, this is in general an idea which separates sukkah from other mitzvos. By sukkah, in order to go ahead and discharge your obligation, you must have kavana for the mitzvah. Bosa, this is in contradistinction to other mitzvahs. If I pick up my lulav and esrog on the first day of sukkahs, and I have no idea why I'm doing this, except that there's a mitzvah to go ahead and pick up a lulav and esrog. I don't know the meaning, I don't know the understanding, I don't know the reasons. What's that halacha? The loch is am yotze. If you walk into your sukkah on sukkahs night and you do not understand why you are there, you are not yotze the mitzvah. You might be eating there, sleeping there, joking there, learning there, entertaining there. You get the point. But if you don't know why you are there, you are not yotze.
What if you're under bar
mitzvah? Then that's something different. We're going to discuss. There's going to be a whole sugi about under bar mitzvah. So Rashi points out over here why, because the Torah uses the lashon of Leman yedu dorosechem. There's a yediyah. When you sit in the sukkah, there has to be a recognition. Now that's I'm referring over here to a cognitive recognition. Rabbah is actually referring to something different over here. Finish the Rashi. He says, "Leman nikar shete dixiv yedu ki basuchos hashavti sivisi leishev hachi darish le va'afagav." So we'll say, look at the next Rashi. "Dilo shulta be'ina she'ino roh es haschach besuka hainu schach kishma." It's kishma. So we'll say, Rabbah seems to say like this: the whole idea of the sukkah, what creates the idea, what creates sukkah awareness, is schach. Because it will say the whole chap of this, the whole chap of the sukkah, the temporal nature of the sukkah is not really in its walls, as we will see. Because people often built regular domiciles with these types of walls. The chap of the sukkah was in its loosely thatched roof. That was the chap. Therefore, Rabbah says the idea, the recognition of sukkah, ultimately comes from the schach. The problem is if the sukkah is 1220 amos, people don't look like this. Happy we got that on video, by the way, right? Sukkahs, people don't look like this, right? People's range of vision is they look up, but they don't tilt their heads all the way back. If you have a sukkah that's the malame asrim amma, then what? Then that means that schach is not really going to be in your line of vision. If the schach is not in your line of vision, then you've lost out on the idea. Rabbi Zera, that's Rabbah. Rabbi Zera and Zera says, Rabbi Zera on Mehach, Rabbi Zera learns it out from here. The sukkah tia letzel yomam. He quotes over here the pasuk from Yeshayahu. V'sukkah tia letzel yomam mechorev. Literally, the sukkah will be there for you for shade during the day and to protect you. This is interesting. Chorev, right? Chorev over here means heat, to protect you from the heat. So therefore, Rabbi Zera says like this. Ad esrim ama adam. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Zera, what the pasuk is highlighting over here is that the essence of the sukkah is for what? Is for shade. It's letzel. So it says Rabbi Zera, ad esrim amo, until 20 amos, adam yoshei bitzel sukkah. Until 20 amos, a person is able, a person sits within the shade of the sukkah. When he says shade of the sukkah, I mean the shade of the schach. Lemalame esrim amo, however, again, if it's taller than 20 amos, ein adam yoshei bitzel sukkah, ella bitzel defanus. Says Rabbi Zera also, however, that if the sukkah is taller than 20 amos, then what happens? Then lemais, so again, you are not sitting in the shade of the schach, but rather what? In the shade of the walls. Amar li Abayi, so Abayi interjects and he says, elami ato, if that's true, ha'osa sukkaso ba'ashtaros karnayim. Rabosai, if you make your sukkah in ashtaros karnayim, now what's ashtaros karnayim? Rabosai, first wide line on the bottom of Rashi, ashtaros karnayim, shnei harim gidolim. Like if you make your sukkah in between two high mountains, v'hashvela b'neihem, the valley is between them. Umitoch gova haharim ein chama zorachas sham b'shvela. So what says Abayi, Rabbi Zera, if you are correct that the whole problem with the sukkah that's the malame esrim amo is that the shade won't come from the schach, but rather the shade comes from the walls. Then what about somebody who builds a sukkah in a valley between two mountains? Are you going to tell me that such a sukkah is not kosher? Because what happens if you build a sukkah between two mountains? The sunlight is not getting in. Are you telling me that such a sukkah is not good? So we'll say, listen, now, interestingly enough, he says, interestingly enough, the havamina of Abayi's kash is that such a sukkah should be good. Now, we'll discuss that case later on, but look at the answer. And here, Rabbi Zera gives such a fascinating answer. It's a lamdashe answer. Amar lei, hasam, dal ashtaros kanayim, ikat sel sukkah. Here's the difference. The difference in the ashtaros kanayim, the valley case, is remove the mountains, and what do you have? A kosher sukkah. Hacha, dal defanos, but here, if you take away the walls, there are lamalame esrim amma, what do you have? Lekatzel sukkah. You still have no shade. The shade, because it will say again, at that height, what Rabbi Zera assumes is that the sunlight will come in from underneath the schach. So ultimately, again, the walls will provide. So what Rabbi Zera essentially is answering is, Abayi, your kasha is not a good kasha. Why? Because in the case of the sukkah that's in Ashtaros Karnayim, the cheftza of the sukkah itself is a kasher sukkah, right? The sukkah in its essence is a kasher sukkah. It is the schach that gives the shade and not the walls. Okay, there's an external circumstance that's present that's preventing the sunlight from coming in. But the cheftza, the object of the sukkah itself, is ritually and halachically correct. As opposed to the case that's a sukkah l'malam esrama, that sukkah by definition is deficient. Right. That because that sukkah That sukkah lemaisa is not good because at the end of the day, the shade will be coming from the walls and not from the schach. Fine. Rava. Rava says third approach. Rava says, Rava amar mehacha. Basukos teshu shivas yomim. The Torah says that you shall dwell in the sukkahs for 7 days. Amar Torah, kol shivas hayomim tse midiras keva. V'shev midiras arai. So Rava said, what did the Torah tell you? For 7 days, leave your permanent dwelling and relocate to a temporary dwelling. Ad esrim ama adam osed diras al diras arai. Up until 20 amos, a person makes his dwelling temporary. Lemalame esrim ama ein adam osed diras arai ela diras keva. But rather, again, above 20 amos, a person doesn't make his dwelling temporary. Rather, he makes it permanent. Rabbi, look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, lemalame esrim. It's four lines up from the bottom of the daf. Lemalame esrim. So above 20 amos, Rashi says la tzorich laasos. So here's what's interesting. Rava brings down a very interesting point. What's the issue? The issue is the taller you make a wall, the more what? The stronger it has to be able to support that height and to be able to support that weight. So what Rava suggests is the following. The sukkah has to be a diras arai, has to be a temporary dwelling. If you make a sukkah at a height of 20 amos, by definition, those walls are going to have to be sturdy, like Rashi says over here. Rashi says, you're going to have to make a foundation, and stronger walls, shalot people. So Amalei Abayi says, well, if that's the case, Amalei Atal, Asa Mechitzos Shal Barzel, V'sichich Al Gabar HaChan Amid L'Havi Sukkah. So Rabbi, are you telling me then, according to your approach, that if you made strong permanent walls, but let's say within 20 hours, so I decide, you know what, I'm going to use a wall of my house as one of the walls of my sukkah. I have a stone fence. I'm going to use one of the walls of that. Are you telling me then that such a wall is not good? Now, Rabbi said, we know that that's not true. Such a wall is good to be used for sukkah. So the Gemara says, V'sichech ha'gaban ha'chanam v'lai v'sukkah amalei. Rava responds, no. Ha'chi kaminocha. This is what I mean to say. Ad chav ama, the adam osed diras o diras arai, ki avid lei diras keva nami nafik. So what Rava says is like this. I'm not really concerned as much about the materials with which you are fabricating the wall as much as I am concerned about the identity of a wall. A wall within 20 amos can have the status of a temporary wall. And that's true even if what? That's true even if it's made of non-temporary materials. Or that's true even if you're using a fixed wall. But within 20 amos, it has what we call the chalos shein. It has the identity of a temporary wall. However, Lamala mechav ama, the adam osed diras or diras keva, ki avid le diras arai nami lo nafik. But rather, what Rava says is the following. What Rava says, but lemaisa rabosai, above 20 amos, people don't normally construct arai things taller than 20 amos. So once you are constructing above 20 amos, such a structure by definition, such a structure inherently has the status of a diras keva, even if it's made from temporary materials. So we'll say, we now have three different understandings or three different opinions as to why a sukkah that is lemalo me'esrim amo is not good. Quick review. We have Rabba saying, leman yedu doroseichem. You have, in order to be able for a sukkah to be kosher, you have to have a constant visual contact with the schach. Lemalo me'esrim amo, a person is not going to have that visual contact. Rabbi Zera, the sukkah tiel itzel yomam. Sukkah is all about shade. And therefore, the mice again taller than 20 amos. And therefore, the shade must come from the schach. What's the problem? Taller than 20 amos, where is the shade coming from? Shade is coming from walls, not schach. And Rava, sukkah must be a diras arai. Sukkah must be a temporary dwelling. And any walls constructed above 20 amos, by definition, that people don't build temporary structures like that. Therefore, therefore, by definition, that's called diras keva, not diras arai. Says the Gemara, Amud Beis. Kulu kiraba lo amri. So we'll say now the Gemara is going to try to go back and try to understand why each one does not hold like the other. So the Gemara says none of them, meaning when we say none of them, we mean Rabbi Zera and Rava don't hold like Rava. Why? Because the Gemara says because hahi yedil dorosi. Because we'll say, remember the pasuk that Rava is quoting leman yedu doroseichem is not really. Just about the mitzvah of sukkah. What is that about? That's about teaching us, Torah's teaching us, that lemaisa, you have to go ahead and perpetuate this knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out in Sukkot to future generations. Look at Rashi. Hahu, lav biyedia di yeshiva sukkah. That pasuk is not really teaching me about the details of the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. Ela biyedias, biyedias doros haba, in the back of sukkah, sukkos anoni akov, and aslavos. That pasuk is really teaching me that I have to convey to my children and future generations the fact that what? That God took us out of Egypt, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu housed us in clouds of glory while we were in the desert. So therefore, they don't like Rabbi's pasuk. Okay. Ki Rabbi Zera nami lo ami. They also don't pasuk like Rabbi Zera. I remember Rabbi said, what did Rabbi Zera say? Rabbi Zera is one who said the shade issue is sukkah tiel etzel yomam. So why not? So must remember, Rabbi Zera calls that pasuk sukkah tiel etzel. It teaches us what? I would suggest if it's a good idea, just in general, keep like a little notebook with you, a piece of paper, because things, or you can underline in your Gemaras, so you can make constant, or maybe you have better memories than me, I shouldn't say that. You can make constant reference back to it, you can write it down shorthand, or just underline in your Gemaras, so you can quick reference back. So remember, what did Rabbi Zera say? I underlined it. Rabbi Zera said, the pasuk said, "V'sukkah tiel etzel yomam." Now remember, Rabbi Zera is quoting the pasuk from Yeshayahu, which says that the sukkah is for shade. So the Gemara says, "Rabba and Rava do not hold like Rabbi Zera. Why? Hahu liyemos haMashiach tichsev." Because I will say the pasuk that Rabbi Zera is quoting by sukkah is not talking about the mitzvah of sukkah, but rather what is it talking about? It's talking about the messianic era. And in fact, what is Yeshayahu describing? Yeshayahu is describing a beautiful scene. Now, what's going to happen? When Mashiach comes, everybody's going to be sitting in their hut, right? Relaxing, right? You're going to be in the shade. It's going to protect you from the heat. You're going to have a drink with an umbrella in it. That's Rashi, right? But, they're saying, Rabbi Zera, the Pasuk's not talking about the mitzvah of Sukkah. The Pasuk's talking about the Mosa Mashiach. I've Rabbi Zera. So what does Rabbi Zera do with this? Imkin lichtov kra v'chupa tiel etzel yomam. And we'll say, Rabbi Zera responds, and he says, well, listen, if the Pasuk just wanted to teach you about the Messianic era and how everything is going to be so beautiful, it didn't have to use the word sukkah. It could have used the word chupa. And we'll say, what does chupa mean? Chupa is a canopy. Chupa is a canopy. So again, if that's all you want to talk about, you want to paint a beautiful, beautiful, serene picture, when Mashiach comes, we're going to be sitting under our canopies, protected from the heat, in beautiful shade. Why use the word sukkah? Umay sukkah tiel etzel yomam shamas mina tarti. So Rabbi Zera says the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to use the word sukkah teaches us two things. Number one, that lemaisa again, yes, in Yimos HaMashiach there's going to be this wonderful serene experience. And number two, that the essence of a halachic sukkah contemporarily and presently is for shade. And therefore a sukkah that's lamala me'esrim amo, whose schach does not provide shade, but rather whose walls provide shade, will be an invalid sukkah. Kirava nami lo amri. I will say again, now Rabba and Rabbi Zera do not hold like Rabba. Remember, what did Rabba say? Rabba was the opinion that the sukkah tishu shivas yomim. So Rabba was about diras arai, that it has to be a temporary dwelling. And why not? Why don't the other two hold of Rabbi Zera, of Rabba? Mishum kusha da Abaye, because of Abaye's kasha. What was Abaye's kasha? I will say Abaye's kasha on Rabba was that if that's the case, Rabbi, you shouldn't be able to build a wall out of stone or out of metal, which we know is not true. Okay, so we'll say, now we've clarified the three shitos, and we've also clarified why each shita does not hold of the other. Now the Gemara is going to quote a number of different interpretations of the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi. So again, we'll say, just to frame what's happening over here. We had a machlokis in the Mishnah, if whether or not a sukkah that's the malami esrim amos kasher apostle. Rabbanon? Apostle, Rabbi Yehuda, kosher. Now, what we were doing just now is focusing just on the shita of the Rabbanon. Why is a sukkah that's the malam esrim amah apostle? We have three different shitos as to why that's true. Now, what the Gemara is going to do is record 1, 2, 4 different understandings of the circumstances of the dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, and to try to see in each case who of the previously three expressed opinions are line up with these interpretations. Okay, did that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay. She says, well, you'll see, it'll make sense when I read it inside. So what's the fine? Kiman azla hada amar, hadam Rabbi Yoshia, amar Rav. So whose opinion is reflected in the following statement of Rabbi Yoshia in the name of Rav? What did he say? Machlokes, there's a machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rav on when, b'she'in defanos magios l'schach. So Rabbi Yoshia suggests that the machlokes between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda about a sukkah lamalani esrim amah is only in a case where the walls don't reach the schach. Rabbi Osai, so what is it, like a magical sukkah? So what does it mean? So if you can imagine, I would show you a picture, but it's going to be too small. If you can imagine, what you have is this: the walls end, and then you have four posts that extend up. And those posts go, we're going to spend a lot of time on this case, those posts extend the schach. So literally, there's airspace in between the bottom of the wall and the top of the schach. So Rabbi Yoshia suggests that it's only in the case of where the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan argue about a sukkah that's the Amei Esrim Amah, only in a case where the walls don't reach the schach. Aval, defanos magios the schach. But lemaisa, again, if the walls reach the schach, afilu lemalo me esrim amah kshera. Even if the sukkah is 12 and 20 amos, everyone will agree that the sukkah is kosher. So the Gemara says, kiman. So whose opinion of the previous three opinions that we discussed on Amud Aleph is reflected in this? The Gemara says, oh, ki rabba. Why Rabbah say, what did Rabbah say? According to Rabbah, what was the problem with the sukkah that's lemalo me esrim amah? Lo shalta ba'ina, right? That ultimately, again, a person doesn't look up like that. However, karaba dar mishum lo shalta ba'ina, v'kevan de defanos magios l'schach mishlat ba'ina. But perhaps according to Rabbah, when do we say that your eyes won't, essentially, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, is that according to Rabbah, your eyes will always follow the wall up to their natural end. So therefore, l'maisa, if the wall ends at the schach, then you will see the schach. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yoshia's approach, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon would agree that a sukkah that's the malame esrim amah, as long as the walls reach the schach, the sukkah is kosher. Because again, according to Rabbah, you'll follow the wall line up and you'll end up seeing the schach. On the other hand, if the walls do not reach the schach, then lemaisa, again, you will not continue to look upwards. Schach will be out of view. Therefore, there will be no yediyah from the schach, and therefore the schach is possible. It's therefore the sukkah is possible. So Gemara says, kiman ozla. I want to be clear. We haven't done any halacha lemaisa yet. So right now, we're just trying to figure out what's what. So the Gemara says, kiman ozla hodam Rav Huna Rav. So we'll say, now, whose opinion is reflected in the following statement? Rav Huna, who said the name of Rav. Machlokes, the machlokes of the Rabbanon, is b'she'in ba'ela arba amos ala arba amos. Then when do they argue? The Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda only argue in a case of a sukkah that doesn't have dalet amos by dalet amos. So it's a relatively small sukkah, does not have dalet amos by dalet amos. Aval yeshba, suppose what Rav Huna is suggesting is that when do Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban disagree about a sukkah that's lemalame esrim amo when it's less than dalet by dalet? Aval yesh ba yosemi arba amos, but lemaisa of the sukkah has a greater area than dalet amos by dalet amos. Afilu lemalo me esrim amah kshera, even if the sukkah is taller than 20 amos, the sukkah is still kosher. Whose opinion is reflected over here? Kiman, Rabbi Zeira. Like Rabbi Zeira, why do amar mishum tsel? Also remember, what was Rabbi Zeira? Rabbi Zeira was one according to the pasuk from Yeshayahu, the sukkah tia litzel yomam. Let's say the sukkah should be for shade. So the Gemara says the following: the chayvan derevicha ikat sell sukkah. So we'll say apparently when is there a problematic with the sukkah that's lamalame esrim amah when it's very small. So if you imagine if the sukkah is narrow but the walls are tall, then lamaisa what? The shade is only going to come from the walls and not from the schach. But if the sukkah is greater than dalid by dalid, then lemaisa again, because it's wider, because it has greater area, then you have the ability for the schach to provide shade and not just the walls. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Kiman azla ha de amar Rav Chanan Barabba. So whose opinion is reflected in the following interpretation of Rav Chanan Barabba? What did Rav Chanan Barabba say in the name of Rav? Machlokes, the machlokes in Rabbi Yudin the Rabbanon, about a sukkah that's the malame esrim amo, b'she'ina machzekes ele kedei rosho verubo. So we'll say, where do they have machlokes? They have machlokes in a case of where the sukkah is not able to hold literally your head and the majority of your body. Now we'll say, we will give a defined shear for this, because obviously we don't really like to make subjective shiurim in halacha. The only subjective shiurim we saw were when? Okay, we just finished it. Yuma, right? Yuma, right? By achila, right? By shtia. By shtia, ultimately you have a mali lugma, There are other, a couple of other examples like that as well. Kamitsa, you had it like that. But again, generally we don't have subjective shiurim. We like to have objective standardized shiurim. So the Gemara says, so we'll see, we call this Rosh Ruba V'Shulchano. Tomorrow's daf will define what that is. So when is the machlokas? When you have a sukkah that's so small that it does not hold a person's Rosh Ruba V'Shulchano, his head, most of his body, and his table. But if the sukkah is large enough that it holds his head, his body, and excuse me, most of his body, and his shulchan, I feel about say also understand something. Just you say to yourself, what does that mean? Your body. You know, we think about this. Wherever my head is, that's where most of my body is as well. That's because we eat sitting up. Remember, they ate lying down. So remember, they would eat like hesiba. They would eat on a couch. So when it says, if you imagine you're lying down and eating, so that's what it means, rosho rubo shulchono, right? So you'd be laying down on a couch, you'd have a little table in front of you, so the sukkah has to be large enough to go ahead and contain your table, your head, and most of your lying down body. So the Gemara says, ava machzekis yosem michtei rosho rubo v'shulchono, afilu lamala me'esrim amakshera. So we'll say, so whose opinion is, so according to Rav Hanan bar Rabba's approach, who said the name of Rav, the machlokes in Abihudin and Rabbanan is only in a case of a sukkah that does not hold Rosh Harubo v'Shulchano. But Lamaisa, if it holds more than Rosh Harubo v'Shulchano, then Lamaisa what? The sukkah is good even if it's Samalim Esrim Amma. So the Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion is reflected here? The Gemara says, Delo Kechad. The truth is, this doesn't stim with anyone. This would not work with, I will say, it wouldn't work with Rabba, because again, the area is too small ultimately to be able to really follow the schach up. It wouldn't work with Rabbi Zera because the area is too small. Because Lemaisa again, you have the issue of tzel, and the tzel is not going to come from the schach, and it's only going to come from the walls. And it doesn't work with Rava, because remember, Rava's fundamental problem would be anything lemala me'estrim, by definition, is going to be a diras keva and not a diras arai. So the Gemara says, Bishlama. Now we'll say, okay, so now just follow what we've done. We had a machlokis in the Mishnah. We had three interpretations as to why the Rabbanon hold that lemaisa sukkah lemalami esrim amma is not going to be kasher. We now have had four interpretations as to the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, and we've tried to line up each of those interpretations with one of the three opinions on Amud Aleph, and we were successful in three out of the four times. Now the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to try to understand why each of the four interpretations of the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon do not hold of one another. So the Gemara says, Bishlama de Rabbi Yoshia, Pligi ad Rav Huna, Rav Hanan bar Rabba. So also, I understand Rabbi Yoshia. Remember, Rabbi Yoshia was the one who said that the machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon was in what case? Was a case of where the defanos don't reach the schach. But if the defanos reach the schach, even if the sukkah is lamala me'esrim amo, the sukkah is kasher. So I understand Rabbi Yoshia argues on Rav Huna and Rav Hanan bar Rabba, de inhu kayohavi shiura b'mashcha, v'ihu lo kayov shiura b'mashcha. Because it was according to Rav Huna and Rav Hanan bar Rava, they understand the machlokes in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and Rabbanon to be rooted in the dimensions of the sukkah itself. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, that's not what the issue is. It's not an issue about the area of the sukkah itself. It's a machlokes about the nature of the walls. El Rav Huna, Rav Hanan bar Rava, neima behechsher sukkah kamifligi. I, but Rabbo say, when it comes to Rav Huna and Rav Hanan bar Rava, they must be arguing about the fundamental shear of a sukkah. Because also remember, Rav Huna's interpretation is that the machlokes in Rav Yehuda and Rabbanon is rooted in what? Is whether or not it's a sukkah that's dalit al dalit. Rav Hanan bar Rava understood that the machlokes is rooted in what? If it's a sukkah that can contain rosh rubu v'shulchano. So it seems like what they're really arguing about at their core is what? What is the fundamental, basic definition of an area of a sukkah? To which the Gemara says, "Demar sabar hechsher sukkah ba'arba amos." One opinion, and that's the first opinion of Rav Huna, says that hechsher sukkah is dalet amos. Umar sabar, and the other opinion says hechsher sukkah b'machzekes rosho ruba b'shulchano. And the other opinion, i.e., Rav Hanan bar Rava, says no, that the minimum shear for a sukkah is the ability, an area to be able to hold rosho ruba b'shulchano. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not true. Dechuli alma hechsher sukkah rosho ruba v'shulchan. So we will see this again more pronounced tomorrow. But lemaisa again, the Gemara suggests, now everyone agrees that the basic shear for a sukkah is rosho ruba v'shulchan. Shabbos, we will see, is a very small shear, 7.5 tefachim by 7.5 tefachim. It's a relatively small shear. We'll discuss this more in depth tomorrow. But everyone essentially agrees that the minimum shear for a sukkah is rosho, urubo, v'shulchano. And what are they arguing about? V'acha b'hai k'mifki. This is what they're arguing about over here. Timar sabar b'machzekes rosho v'shulchano pligi. That one opinion says that in the case of rosho, urubo, v'shulchano, they will argue aval yoser me rosho, urubo, v'shulchano divrei hakol k'sheira. One opinion holds that Lamaisa, everyone agrees that Rosh Arubu Vashul, excuse me, Demar Savar, let me read that once more. One opinion holds Bamachzekes Rosh Arubu Vashulchan Opligi. Avayosem Rosh Arubu Vashulchan, Dirakol Ksheira. So one opinion holds that the Machlokes, there is a fundamental Machlokes. The Machlokes is in a Sukkah that is less than Rosh Arubu Vashulchan. That doesn't argue. Exactly. That, but over here, you could look over here in Rashi. Aval yoser mechte rosho rubo, v'taima depasol lemala me'esrim, lo yedil, actually, I'm sorry, don't read that yet. So one opinion holds that the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon is in a case of a sukkah that's less than rosho rubo v'shulchano. But, if it's rosho rubo v'shulchano or more, diri hakol k'shera, everybody agrees the sukkah is kosher. Umarshav, the other opinion holds no. Meirosho rubo v'shulchano adalid amos pligi. The other opinion says that no. And I will say, remember, when we say other, this would be the opinion of the second one. The first one we quoted was Rav Hanan bar Abba, and the second one would be Rav Huna in the name of Rav. So the other opinion, Rav Huna in the name of Rav, says that from rosho rubo v'shulchano adalid amos pligi, so meaning the shear in between rosho rubo v'shulchano up until dalid amos is subject to a machlokes. However, but if a sukkah is more than dalet amos, everybody agrees that it's kosher. So Rabbosai, they do have a fundamental machlokes in terms of what? In terms of what are the agreed upon shiurim of sukkah. You just got off from school tomorrow. According to the first opinion, Lemaisa again, Lemaisa, the shear for Sukkah, anything above Rosh Arubo v'Shulchano will work. The Machlokes is less than Rosh Arubo v'Shulchano.
Meaning, even if the Sukkah is above Esrim Amma.
Correct. Even right now, we can even leave aside Esrim Amma for just a moment. Because right now, we're talking about the fundamental dimensions of a Sukkah. Yes, it'll go back and then it'll play into the fundamental Machlokes. But right now, even just establishing basic shiurim. According to the second opinion, no. The pachos mit rosho v'shulchano, of course, is totally not good. The machlokes is about the case of what? Is between rosho v'shulchano and dalet amos. What do you do with that sukkah? That's subject to machlokes. But everyone will agree that more than dalet amos will certainly be a good sukkah. So Gemara raises the kasha. Meisme. Sukkah shi gavoa l'mala me'esrim amma psula. A sukkah that is taller than 20 amos is psula. And the Gemara quotes our Mishnah. Rabbi Huda's machshir ad arba'im v'cham ishim amo until 45 amos. Excuse me, let me take that back. 40 or 50 amos. I'm Rabbi Huda. So also listen to this. Rabbi Huda quotes again. That is a tall sukkah. So also remember, this is even bigger than our Mishnah because again, so far the Rabbanon are the same. The Rabbanon are saying anything above 20 amos is fine. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Huda just says above 20 is fine as well, without a cap. Here, Rabbi Huda goes a step further and says even if it's 40 or 50 amos, it is still kosher. We'll say let me read a few more lines. Then we're going to stop just a few moments early today. I'm Rabbi Huda. So Rabbi Huda says like this. Now Rabbi Huda brings a raya. Maaseh behelini amalka. The Gemara tells a story now about Helen Yamalka. And what happened now? Who was Helen Yamalka? So there's a lot of dispute, a lot of discussion in terms of who Helen Yamalka was. According to most of the commentaries, Helen Yamalka was one of the queens of the Hashmonai dynasty. Let me, I'll give you the background and then we'll stop over here. Remember, when the Maccabim, when the Hashmonaim overcome the Syrian Greeks, they do something very interesting, which is they become, remember, they're Kohanim. They not only reinstate the Kahuna, they also take the monarchy. There's a fundamental machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam as to whether or not they did the right thing by taking the monarchy. The Ramban feels that they made a terrible mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka, actually in the brachos of Yaakov Avinu, purposely separates the monarchy and the priesthood. Because to a certain degree, there must be a little bit of a separation between religious leadership and political leadership. Even though, again, religious leadership ultimately has to serve in, religious leadership also has to serve in a political capacity, and political leadership has to serve in a religious capacity. You have to have them separated. The Rambam feels the Chashmonaim did exactly what they needed to do given the circumstances. In order to consolidate Jewish rule, in order to consolidate Jewish autonomy, they had to seize both offices. But here's what's clear. At some point in time, everything went terribly south for the Chashmonaim. And remember, again, the entire Hasmonean line is wiped out. Who was it wiped out by? It was wiped out by Herod. Herod was originally a Chashmonai slave. He was a servant of the Chashmonai family. He led a rebellion against the Chashmonaim, and he killed out the entire Chashmonai family. But there were sprinklings of righteous Hasmoneans throughout the ages. One of them was Queen Helene. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up with her story in Hashem tomorrow.
You are close, by the way. Stay up.